and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. I'm Jason Logan. He's Todd Furman. We're going to be breaking down the best betting action here for NFL Week 14 over the next 10 minutes or so. That includes our wagers for a big Thursday night football game. That's going to be a lot of fun. Cowboys, Lions, we got anytime touchdown bets. And then, of course, our favorite plays for the week ahead. Todd, not a bad Thanksgiving for us. We hit some touchdown winners. We had a couple props pop off. Our two-minute roll bets, I think, went 3 for 4. So overall, a good week 13, but now we're post-Turkey Day. What changes in the next 5 weeks, and then how do we handicap those changes?
Leave it to me for dropping the ball on our two-minute drill bets. I decided to back the Tennessee Titans. It's a decision I regretted after watching most of the Tennessee Titans against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you mentioned the anytime touchdown scores. I mean, Jake Ferguson, get the second leg down, and we have an even more profitable Turkey Day in that regard. But I think what changes now going forward is teams that are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs are always harder to get the general public to gravitate towards betting. So what do odds makers do? They typically inflate those price tags, and everybody ultimately has a buy point. So you can't sit there and go, you know what? I'm just going to bet teams that have that motivational edge. They're in that must-win situation. Every number will come into play. So if you think a game should be 3 and odds makers are going to give you the opportunity to back a bad team catching 4.5, sometimes you just have to hold your nose, jump into the deep end of the pool, and hope that they can avoid ineptitude for the better part of 60 minutes.
Yeah. How much, like, because you have to find teams like those bad teams, teams that are eliminated, but teams that are still playing, still trying, either playing for their coach or vying for something. You know, is coach speak, is listening to kind of the locker room buzz where you're going to get that type of information?
It goes a long way in terms of which franchises want to integrate some of their younger players, get them more reps. Guys that are fighting for jobs is never a bad way to try and go about identifying an underdog. And I'd say for people that typically gravitate towards looking at season-long numbers, maybe shrink that sample size a little bit. Look at current form and how a team has performed in their last 3 games, last 5. And the same thing we say early in the year, all schedules aren't created equally. So if a team gets through a stretch where they've played a grueling list of opponents, you may have an opportunity to buy low based on scoreboard cosmetics versus the current form they're going to see when they finally get a breath of fresh air against a lesser opponent. Spoiler alert, I will highlight one of those teams a little bit later in the program.
Love a good spoiler alert. Oh, I can't wait. All right. Well, before we get to that big announcement, whatever it may be, let's ask if you like what we're doing here on the podcast, please rate and review on whatever platform it is that you listen to the Sharp 600. And if you're among the growing numbers watching us on YouTube each week, thanks for that. Like, subscribe, leave a comment. Let us know what you're betting here in week 14. All right, Todd, that is it. Let's go. 600 seconds on the clock. We are in the home stretch of the schedule, and we're going to go sniffing around for some play on and play against teams in these final 5 weeks. Todd, we're going to talk about, can these teams go on a run, whether that is outright wins or ATS wins, or are they done? So Cincinnati Bengals, run or done?
I think they could have an ATS run in them. It's going to be interesting, though, J-Lo, to see how the market responds to the return of Joe Burrow. We saw them close as a 7.5-point dog on Thanksgiving. They weren't great in the red zone, but it was arguably the team's best defensive performance of the entire season. Now, of course, you're not always going to finish +4 in the turnover department, so you have to temper expectations. But you look at the next 2 games against the Bills and Ravens, that's going to define their season, and maybe you have a little bit of a buy low. Won't call them a playoff team, but could call them a play-on team from an ATS team.
Yeah, I think had things gone differently on Thanksgiving, maybe they were shutting it down, but now it's like Ravens at 6 wins, Steelers at 6 wins, Cincinnati at 4 wins. They could definitely make up some gain some ground here. And the defense, I will say, has been horrible all year. Not bad. I would say serviceable.
Not rock bottom.
A little bit better. So enough. Hey, that might be enough to get them into that win column in terms of covering the spread. Let's go Atlanta Falcons. Run or done for the Falcons?
I think they're done for the season, but I do think they could have an ATS run in them. They were better than that final score indicated against the Jets, losing 27-24. They were the better, more complete football team. Kirk Cousins is starting to look more comfortable leading the offense, and eventually Drake London is going to return. I know he logged a DNP on Wednesday, so I'm not optimistic he's back for the Seahawks game, but they're catching inflated numbers, and they have all the pieces to play spoiler down the stretch. as a lot of these guys will look for future employment. I think the Falcons are going to be a play-on team more often than not down the stretch.
I worry about Comfy Cousins because they've got a couple nasty pass rushes coming up. Seattle, Tampa Bay, the LA Rams. I mean, it was funny. Everyone poo-pooed on Atlanta 2 years ago for having two quarterbacks after signing Cousins and drafting Penix. And now after 2025, they might not have any quarterbacks. So I honestly, they're in a tough spot because you can't tank. You don't have a first round pick. They have no cap room to go and grab a free agent or something like that. So I have no idea what to think of the Atlanta Falcons right now. Let's go Miami Dolphins. Run or done for the Dolphins.
So this team has been on a little bit of a run, but we started to see some of their frailties in their narrow victory 21-17 against the Saints last weekend. They just can't run away and hide from some of their opposition. And if you're going to continue to install them as favorites, not an area where I feel comfortable backing the Dolphins. Yes, they've been able to accumulate wins, but who have they come against? In my opinion, this is a team you're going to make more money looking to bet against down the stretch. Although you look at the schedule, if they're able to pull off a couple of wins, who knows? But no, this isn't a Dolphins side that I want to be backing more often than not.
Yeah, I say done, and I say done this weekend. I took Jets +3 in my underdogs column. This is going to be the first true road game for Miami since October 26th because of Spain and bye weeks. And then they've been upside down in the box score a lot here, even in games that they've won. So I say done for them. Let's go Carolina Panthers. Run or done for the Panthers?
I'm going to go run. Everyone wants to talk about the New England Patriots and the kind of season that they have put together with Drake May's MVP candidacy. But look at the teams they've beaten. None of them really have a pulse other than maybe the Buffalo Bills, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And yes, they have a win against these Panthers, but they were favorites in 11 games coming into the year. Carolina is doing all of this, winning games as underdogs, and I don't think they understand that this was supposed to be a lost season. Two games still lingering against the Bucs. If you're even able to get a split, there's a path to Carolina potentially winning the division. I think they still have a run in store with a chance to hit the reset button during a late bye week.
Yeah, I mean, you get New Orleans off the bye week, and then your two toughest games, you get them at home. I think they could be good. Obviously, the market is undervaluing Carolina because they're +10.5 at home last week to the Rams, which I bet. And thank you, Carolina. Without J.C. Horn, a couple of interceptions. We got 1 minute left here. Let's go Minnesota Vikings, run or done.
I'll go run for the Minnesota Vikings. Ooh. Look, I know people have thrown the baby out with the bathwater with J.J. McCarthy and Max Brosmer, and rightfully so. But here's the list of teams the Vikings have played since their bye that came back in week 6. The Eagles, the Chargers, the Lions, the Ravens, the Bears, the Packers, and the Seahawks. That's not a soft spot anywhere to be found. And while a run may be, relatively speaking, they're starting to get to the point where they're a little bit undervalued. J-Lo, wink, wink, nod, nod. The run starts this week against the Commanders.
Oh, boy. I mean, the defense is always going to bring some intensity. But, I mean, just tank. Tank it all. Tank it all right now. McCarthy is not that guy.
Are they going to draft another quarterback, but though? Are they going to draft another guy?
Trade for Kyler Murray. You got to keep Justin Jefferson happy. And I don't think winning any of these last 5 games is going to help with that. So I say done for the Minnesota Vikings. Thursday Night Football gives us a good one. We got Dallas at Detroit. Todd, what are you betting in this one?
Look, I have done nothing but disparage your Cowboys all season long, including last week on Thanksgiving. They went out there and went outright as an underdog against the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not necessarily buying into Dallas being a dark horse in the NFC, but what I am buying is their offense and how prolific they've been. That'll continue against a Lions secondary that is much maligned, dealing with a rash of injuries, plays a ton of single high safety looks. Dak Prescott will be licking his chops with an opportunity to get the ball to CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. Give me the Cowboys team total over 26.5. And would not be shocked at all if they flirted with that 30-point threshold.
Yeah, I did take them in my underdogs column. I like their pass rush, the way that they're going to be able to get after this banged-up offensive line. But for me, I'm going to Jameson Williams. I'm going with longest reception over 26.5 yards. It's -120 at Bet365. Williams was Goff's go-to guy when St. Brown went down on Thanksgiving. 10 targets, 7 catches, 144 yards. He had a few catches of 20-plus. He had a 44-yard dinger as well. And Dan Campbell gushed about his ability to get yards after the catch. He's actually the 4th best wide receiver in terms of yak per reception. Takes on a Dallas team that gives up a ton of yards after the catch. We talked about this last week with Rice. And Kansas City, he got there for us. I like Williams to come here. He's topped his longest reception bar in 4 of his last 5. He's hit some big ones, 5 of 40-plus on the year. So Jameson Williams, longest reception, over 26.5 yards. Time for some anytime touchdown bets. Odds, of course, provided by Bet365. Todd, tee us off. Who's getting in the end zone?
Look, J-Lo, you know me at this point in the season. I have a soft spot for tight ends, specifically tight ends that play the Cincinnati Bengals defense. And while I know Dalton Kincaid only logged a limited on Wednesday, I'm optimistic that he's going to return from that hamstring injury that's kept him sidelined since the second quarter of the Dolphins game. More importantly, Bet365 giving us a price north of $2 on a high-profile tight end to get into the end zone against this Bengals defense and a struggle with tight ends. That's where I'm going to go. If Kincaid does get ruled out, though, don't hesitate betting Dawson Knox or Jackson Hawes in his absence.
Yeah, I did actually look at Kincaid and saw that injury.
He's so your guy. I'm stealing
it from
you.
I love tight ends, man. I basically am a tight end. I'll go with Chris Godwin, plus 175. You can shop around and find some different prices on this, but plus 175 at Bet365. Godwin had a rare miscue in the end zone there last week. Baker full of bullet, hit him in the hands. He dropped that touchdown pass and eventually went to Tristan Wirfs, which was awesome. But he looked really good in that second game back from the leg injury. Looked much better, striking for some deeper plays. I think Baker's shoulder's going to be a little bit better in this one against New Orleans. I like Godwin to get his first touchdown of the season as his snaps and his targets go up. You know, they're getting all these pieces back on offense. I think it just is a rising tide. What is it? Rising tide raises all ships?
Yep.
Is that what it is? Well, Godwin's going to sail that pirate ship into the end zone here in week 14.
I see what you did there.
All right, 2 minute drill time. Odds provided by Bet365. Todd, I'll go first. I'm going Jalen Hurts over 27.5 rushing yards, minus 110. That's right, rushing yards for Jalen Hurts. Have you heard of this? He could run the ball. Yes. But have you heard this? Apparently, he could run the ball. And the reporters are asking Nick Sirianni, why aren't you running the ball more with him? Nick Sirianni really didn't have any good answers. But they got to do something. Desperate times call for desperate measures here. And Hurts is going to have to take off. He's been running far, far too less. But this Chargers zone defense is going to take away the pass. I think we get some coverage sacks and Hurts running away from pressure. We saw the Bolts give up a lot of running yards to nimble QBs like Mahomes, Nicks, and Dart already this season. So I like him to go over 27.5 rushing yards. Finally getting out there and running. Go ahead.
Well, I also have a bet in the Monday Night Football game, and it's going to be rooting for defense to rule the day, especially in the first 30 minutes. I'm going to take the first half under 20.5 between the Eagles and Chargers. Yes, I know there's a chance that this number ticks up a shade if Justin Herbert gets upgraded, but even if Herbert does start, we saw that Chargers offense looked in the second half against the Raiders, primarily shotgun since they can't take snaps under center. It neutralizes a big portion of what the Chargers want to do from a playbook standpoint. And this is an Eagles defense. It's going to be stingy against the run. I think the Chargers have to be methodical. You mentioned the Eagles' lack of big plays, which is going to be on full display against this Jesse Minter defense. I think it's a cagey defensive struggle, especially early, first half under between Chargers and Eagles.
All right, I'm going with R.J. Harvey, running back for the Denver Broncos. I bet him last week. I got the over 47.5. The damn line closed 56.5, and he only ran for 35 yards in that weird game in Washington. However, game script this week, they're going to go play Vegas. They're going to be up big. They're going to run it. All the projections here well over this total, some as high as 60 yards. R.J. Harvey, let's keep it simple. Get over your rushing yard total. Todd, what do you got here last bet?
You mentioned that Sunday night game. It was awfully weird because we did see RJ Harvey take money over in his prop market. And Jaleel McLaughlin, who just got across the finish line, his number close 22.5. I believe he finished with 24. I'm going to play the 6 degrees of separation and fade the losing team from that Sunday night football game and back the Minnesota Vikings. But on the money line at -$1.25 at Bet365, look, we rattled off the scheduled opponents the Vikings have faced. This is the potential for a breath of fresh air. I don't believe Jaden Daniels returns to action. It felt like the Commanders emptied the tank on Sunday Night Football against the Broncos. And look, this is a Vikings defense that's going to heat up an aging quarterback. Minnesota finally exercised the demons, and wouldn't be surprised if J.J. McCarthy looked the part, at least for one Sunday.
Ooh. All right. Yeah, I will say that Vikes pass rush is getting going, though, too. I mean, they're going to have to carry that team. Maybe a defensive touchdown or something like that could be fun.
Look at that, a little DST in the mix on Sunday afternoon.
All right, well, that is it. The horn has long gone, but that's another 600 seconds behind us as we get ready for week 14. Big thanks to Chris behind the scenes. Glad to have you back, buddy. Thank you, Todd. Thank you to Bet365 for those odds. And thank you to you for joining us here once again. Tis the season for giving. And so why don't you give us a nice little rating or review on the podcast platforms. Or you can give us a thumbs up and a subscribe to That Covers YouTube channel. Great big week in college football coming up. And then we got bowl season, NBA, hockey all underway. And, of course, NFL is still chugging along. So a lot of great content on The Covers YouTube channel. So check that out. Todd, quick question here. MVP race really looks like a two-horse deal here. We got Drake May, Matt Stafford. going back and forth depending on how they work out. Is it worth it taking a flyer on anyone, on a Dak or a Baker or a Love or whoever? All those guys like plus 1600 or higher right now. Is it worth it taking a look at any of those other guys?
One player, you mentioned him. We're going to see him take center stage on Thursday night. I think Dak Prescott is worthy of a flyer, potentially at 16-1, because the path is in front of him. If the Cowboys run the table and the Eagles continue to crater, if Dallas went from being off the pace of the trade deadline to winning the NFC East in improbable fashion, Dak would be the reason that was all possible. And look, they're America's team for a reason. It's been a fun, high-flying offense. And I think when you look at some of his numbers, this is a guy that is very much worthy of consideration. Needs a couple things to happen around him for that to transpire. But the guy that I would stay away from in this market, look, I'm not a buyer of Drake May, not because he hasn't been outstanding, but I think he's going to need Matthew Stafford to really fall off a cliff. Stafford got his wake-up call against Carolina. Mm-hmm. It's just the strength of schedule. It leaves a lot to be desired for me with New England. May will have a much bigger runway in front of him, and you have to imagine there are plenty of sentimental voters that if Stafford's even close, should the Rams finish winners of the NFC West or the number one seed in the NFC, that a 37-year-old who's put up prolific numbers is worthy of the award. So I'm going to say Stafford and Dak Prescott, and I'd be more than comfortable to go to battle without a ticket on Drake May.
All right. I like that. And Stafford, I got to wonder if the Rams let Stafford rip here against Arizona indoors. After that.
Oh, he's got a great opportunity here, and I think where Stafford will either win or lose the MVP, J-Lo, I think it's week 16, maybe week 17, the Thursday night game in the Pacific Northwest against Seattle. If he shows out on that stage, I think it's going to be tough to ignore.
And that was a tough matchup for them. It was a 1 p.m. start in the rain in Carolina.
All old folks don't like the weather. Let's be honest.
My knees. I can feel the rain coming to my knees. We will be back next Wednesday for NFL Week 15. Until then, best of luck with your bets.